I'm going to say it again. God is good.
All the time.
Man, I'm telling you what. Even when we're having bad days, you know God is still good.
Amen.
Don't base your goodness of God on the circumstances that you see. God is faithful. He's going to carry you through every single thing that you're going through in life. I was telling somebody yesterday, and y'all have heard me say this before. You're in the middle of a trial. You're either about to go into a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you, in this world, it goes round and round and round. So you're going to keep going back into these trials, but God is faithful. Do you understand? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't walk to stay in it. I don't tarry in it. I don't have to be in it. I can walk on through it, and so can you. Praise God. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to open up into Genesis 19. I'm going to talk today. I said this on the call that I sent out Friday. Listen, if you're not on, we have a robocall that we send out. And if you'd like to be on that call, let me know. Give me your phone number. We can add you to that. It's not every day, but we send out an encouraging word to let you know what's going on in the church. But I put on the robocall the other day, and I entitled today's message, Keep On Keeping On. How many of you have heard that? Keep on keeping on. You know, some tough people say that. The tough people say you got to keep on keeping on. See, the other people, the timid people say, well, I just don't know. I just hope I can make it on through. But the tough, you know, you ever heard that when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Well, if you're born again, you know you're tough. Oh, I guess I'm going to educate some of y'all today. See, you ain't a victim. You are a victor. Y'all got to understand this now. Every time I talk about who you are, the righteousness of Christ, it's like a holy hush comes across the sanctuary. You ought to be jumping and shouting knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. There ought to be nothing that keeps you quiet because you know, oh, you know, there's something greater on the inside of me than on the world out there. Now, I'm telling you what, you folks, you are a victor, not a victim. If you are a victim, guess what? You came to the right place then, because today you can walk out a victor. That's what the true gospel is all about. I want to let you know something. I heard Lester Sumrall. You ever heard of Lester Sumrall? He's an old school preacher. Lester Sumrall said one time, he said, winners never quit and quitters never win. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't a quitter. I've quit some things in my life. Praise God, that I didn't need to have in my life. But I have never quit when it comes to battling the devil. You got to learn to keep on keeping on. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to look at three examples in the Bible today. Y'all know I like threes. Three and seven. Seven, my other favorite number. But I'm going to share with you three things out of the Bible today that I think is going to help you to keep on keeping on. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's go into Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 19, and I'm going to kind of bring you up to the story here. So there's a place in the Bible called Sodom and Gomorrah. God's about to have judgment on this place. And inside of this place, there's this family, and the man's name is Lot. You ever heard of Lot? Now, Lot's in there, and he's got his daughters with him and his sons-in-laws, and he's with his wife in there. And God is going to have judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But two angels come in to Sodom and Gomorrah and tell Lot, hey, listen here. Thank you, brother. I'm going to need a couple of those today. I got a feeling. I started sweating before I started preaching. Now, that's when you know. Y'all hot in here? You about to get real on fire then, praise God. So here it is. So these angels come and they tell Lot, they say, hey, you got to get on out of here. Now God's about to do something and he's about to have judgment on this. And so here's where we're at now. So the angels come to Lot, tell Lot to leave. And here's what, we're going to start at verse 15 and I'm going to read this to you. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. Hold on. Y'all be praying for this miracle, will you? I'm believing too, amen. All right. Well, gray hair and bad eyesight. Now, I've had enough of this. All right. Verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life, do not look back behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Here's what y'all, I want you to understand something. God is a gentleman, but he loves you enough that sometimes he's going to pull you out of something that you don't need to be in. Now, I want you to notice something here. When I read this, and this was so good, I was studying on this yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was here at church, and I was going over this and talking to the Lord, and Lord talking to me, And I just got pointed out, and then I got home this morning. My wife has been getting up early in the morning. Thank you, Miss Karen. Her and my wife apparently doing this some Bible study now. I'm saying thank you because now when I wake up, I got coffee made for me when I wake up. Thank you. She's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Now, if we could just get some bacon and eggs, we're going to have a good morning. But I got up this morning, and my wife has a cup of coffee made for me, and I get up there, and I sit down, and she's giggling. She's all, hee-hee-hee. I said, well, you know what? What in the world's going on with you, woman? Well, I'm just reading something, and I don't want to tell you. I know you're preaching today, and I don't want to mess you up, but I'm reading. And I look down at her Bible, and it's open to Genesis 19. And I said, well, what are you reading? She said, I'm reading about Lot. I said, oh, God is good. Oh, this is for somebody today then. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I looked over, I said, well, what did you see? She said, something stood out to me that never stood out to me before. You know, we've all heard this story. Lot's got to leave. But did you notice what the Bible said? It said when an angel told Lot to leave, he tarried. He was hanging around. He wasn't in an urgency to get nowhere. And God said, hold on now. I got to pull you out of where you're at. Now, God is a gentleman, but sometimes he's got to yank us up by the neck and drag us on out of there and tell us that ain't where we're supposed to be at. Paul, I said, thank you, Lord, for dragging me out of the pits of hell. Thank you, God, because sometimes the Lord told me I need to go, but I started tarrying. I started hanging out. I started waiting around. Well, things might change. Hold on. Maybe I didn't really hear from God. Maybe that's not really what he's trying to say to me. But I'm here to tell you something. If God is calling you out of there, get your honey up and get on out. Amen. And not only that, but when he tells you to get out, he tells you don't look back. Don't even stay around them people. Some of you have been pulled out of the pits of hell, but you still want to call them on speed dial. Paul, look at you calling some people up. I wonder, what? Come hang out with me. You don't need to hang out with Goofy. You're going to become Goofy. Hang up the phone. Disconnect the phone number. Erase them out of your phone book. Move on. God told you, get on out of here. Stop looking back and start looking where God has got you going. If you'll do that, you'll be able to keep on keeping on. Woo. And you know what? There's people back there trying to pull you back into that city. There are people back there. Hold up, where you going? You sure you heard from God? Everybody wants to question something. No, I'm going to tell you something. You want to know who's on your side? Those that are lifting you up. If somebody's got a hold of you and trying to hold you back, they ain't on your team. You better tell them swat sides. You need to go on over there. I'm going where God wants me to go. Are you? Oh, I hope so. The church is going where God told the church to go. And it ain't just in these four walls. We set out a mission. Put that thing up there. This is a church. Our vision. Oh, put it on up here, Robbie. I want everybody to be able to see it. Our vision, not our mission statement, it is a church where all are loved, where freedom is found and lives are transformed. That ain't a slogan, that's a vision. That's a word from God of what we're supposed to be doing as a church in our own community. Do you hear that? 200 and some odd thousand people. We did a thing one time. There's over 5,000 residence addresses just in the zip code 37148. 5,000. We got a lot of people to reach. And I don't mean with some sugared down, watered down gospel. I mean with the gospel that's a two-edged sword that cuts deep, that bleeds it out of them so that when they come to Christ as they are, but they leave walking away different than when they got to him. I heard somebody say that the other day. Well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to change. No, let me tell you something. You don't have to change to come to Jesus. But when you get a hold of Jesus, you start to change. He changes you from the inside out. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, because I don't think I'd be married today if I was still the same man who I was then. My daughter doesn't know that man. Praise God. Whoo, don't look back, folks. Number two, let's flip on over to the New Testament. I like to kind of go back and forth a little bit. How do you know that the whole Bible's for us? Old Testament and New Testament. I said, well, you always preach out the New Testament. Now, I'll preach whatever God tells me to preach. Old Testament, New Testament. The Word of God is true. It's an ever-living Word. You know, you can read something today. I'm getting sidetracked. Y'all going to go down a rabbit hole with me? You know the problem with not reading the Bible? You don't get fresh revelation. I can read a passage today, and it means something to me today, that I can read in 2 years from now that will affect me and give me new revelation, the same passage. It is a living word. And what happens is we're reading and we're studying, the Holy Spirit inside of us is teaching us truth. He's guiding us into all this truth. And, you know, there are times when God's not ready to deal with me on something right now, that later on he is. But if I read it one time, and I took a little picture and I put it on Facebook, and everybody, I got my 17 likes and my three comments. Good word, amen. And I say, all right, and then I put that up on the shelf and I never go back to it. You know, I'm missing out on the new revelation God has got for me. We need to be in the Word of God, folks. I guess I'm going to have to get up at 5 o'clock with my wife. Now, there goes my bacon and eggs. I'm going to have to get up with her and start reading. All right, let's go into Luke 9. Luke 9. We're going to start at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples. This is Jesus. I told you, I'm sweating. I learned from Patty. See this? We're going to pray for somebody. Y'all believe in miracles? Y'all believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? I'm going to tell you, at the end of service today, you're going to see some miracles happen. I'm telling you, you're going to see some miracles. Well, this morning, Miss Mary came to me. We're going to pray for somebody. She's going to stand in for somebody. And I believe in God is going to touch this young woman's life. And she got cancer. They say she ain't going to live. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I shall live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. Now, Miss Mary's going to tell her this, and she's going to repeat it. And every time you talk to her, Brianna, you talk to her too, you tell her that, I shall live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. You start putting the Word of God over her and in her, and I'm telling you what, God is going to move. Some of you are in here today, you need to release some things too. You're going to walk out of here differently than you walked in today. God is faithful. He's going to move. But here's Jesus. Jesus is talking. Then he says to his 12 disciples together, he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. Now here's where I want you to get a hold of this. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went and through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Here's what I want you to know. Number two, to keep on keeping on, don't accept other people's rejection of you. Jesus told them. Now, it's funny that Jesus didn't tell them, hey, don't go into this city. You think Jesus knew? Jesus knew. He knew that these disciples were going to go places that didn't want to hear what he had to say and that they would reject him at that time. But Jesus didn't tell them, so don't go here, but don't go there. Go here, but don't go over there, but go right here. He said, go on out and preach it. But here's what I want you to understand. When you're rejected by it, don't stay there. Don't sit in there and absorb and accept their rejection from you. He said if they reject you when you leave, you understand? When you leave, when you get out of that place, you get away from those people, dust them off like the dust off your feet and keep going. Too many of us in here have wallowed in other people's rejection of us. I'm telling you, sometimes it's from the closest people will hurt you the most. The ones who you think are the closest to you will hurt you. And let me tell you why. They're not bad people. I'm gonna give you a news shock here. They're not bad people. They're being manipulated. I've told you the devil has used good people to do bad things before. So here's what you do. You don't get mad at them. When he said brush them off like the dust off your feet. He didn't say, now go curse them and condemn them and beat them down and so on and so forth. He said, you just keep on doing what I told you to do. But here's what I'm telling you something. If somebody rejects you, you pray for them. You pray for them that their eyes of understanding be opened, that they can understand exactly. And that happens in families time and time and time again. Some of y'all know the story. And I don't know if it'll ever change, and it's okay if it doesn't. But my biological father's still alive, and he don't talk to me. Don't want nothing to do with me. His wife, my stepmother, has blocked me from all of Facebook and everything else. It has nothing to do. Doesn't want anything to do with me whatsoever. Now, there was a time when I wallowed in that rejection. There was a time when I started saying, well, what in the world is wrong with me? Why don't they love me? Why were they shunning me? Why do they not want to have anything to do with me? I don't understand. What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me that they're acting like this towards me? And then I put everything, all that weight, all that load on my shoulders, and I carried it. And you know what I did? I sat down in my own misery. And I just said, I don't understand. And I had myself such a pity party. Oh, the world is just all against me. My family's against me. And I turned myself into a victim. And when I turned myself into a victim, I stopped being a force for God. I started looking at the world completely different than from a victor standpoint. But do you know something? When I stood up, when I said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with me. If Jesus Christ, who was there in the beginning of the creation of the world, When the word was spoken and he formed everything in the universe, that his only begotten son said, I'm going to die on the cross if it was just for you so that you could be reconciled unto my father. Well, then I started going, you know what? What's wrong with me is I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's wrong with me. And the moment I did that, everything changed in my life. I became a victor and not a victim. And I started walking in his acceptance and not their rejection. But do you know, to this day, I don't harbor anger. I pray for him. I pray for her. God, let their eyes of understanding be open. Let them see, not because I want them to like me, but because I want them to be set free. When they get set free, they'll stop looking at how to reject others and they'll realize that they're accepted just like you and me. So how do you keep on keeping on? You get up. You don't sit in other people's rejection. You keep moving forward. God is doing something. I'm telling you, don't answer your critics. People are going to try to put you down. How about time? We took the clock down. Ooh, I'm going to make it quick. No, I'm not. Y'all bring your crackers today? We need to cut the air on. Y'all, let's cut the air. Y'all, do I need to make it like a refrigerator in here that all y'all teeth are chattering? Now, look, I done forgot where I was going there. I want you to understand something. I've been in here now. I've been in this church, and let me tell you, I love y'all. Thank y'all. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. Ashley and I came into this church, you know, almost 11 years ago, and lost and undone, and I didn't want to be here, and I didn't want anything to do with it, but it was the love of people in this church, and through Pastor Mays that kept us here, and y'all have been so wonderful during this transition as well. It's going on. I'm really just honored, and I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I want you to know I'm already starting my own folder. Y'all ever see Pastor hold up his little folder of hate mail? That thing's about that thick from letters. Well, I got to tell you, less than 2 months in, I'm already starting to get my file together. It's already starting to come to me. I've got critics already coming up against me. I want you to understand something. Critics are going to come up, but you know what I don't do? I don't take the time to sit there and answer my critics. I answer to my God. That's who I answer to. So when my critics want to come, I pray for them and then dismiss them. That's what you need to do. I didn't say be hateful. I'm not hateful and mean about it, but I don't have time. Do you understand? I'm on a mission for God. You are on a mission for God. Time is of the essence. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming back, folks. This game is about to come to an end. We're not going to be here no longer. And I don't know about you, but I want to see heaven flooded with people from these streets lining those streets when we get there. But if you're going to waste your time answering your critics, then you're losing time. You could be bringing people to salvation through Jesus Christ. I don't waste time no more. I used to. I don't do that no more. Get up out of your rejection. Not everyone is meant to be a member of your tribe. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Not everyone is meant to be a member of your tribe. There's lots of different tribes out there. Let them go where God leads them to be then. And don't take it as a rejection of you. Here's what happens. When people leave, you know what I do? Bless you. I pray that you go somewhere where God wants you to be. And then when you get there, I pray that your roots grow deep. Because a tree that doesn't have roots will not produce fruit. So if you'll get somewhere where God wants you to be and plant your roots there, they'll start growing down, and then all of a sudden you'll see your life starting to be different because the fruit will start to produce in your life. Not everybody's meant to be in your tribe. Number three, last thing. Everybody still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, y'all still awake? Where's that holy hush that was just a few minutes ago here? Amen. I'm going to get one of them sounding alarms. Y'all heard it? Y'all know what that is. I know. How many of you got that beside your bed in the morning time going off? And husbands, don't be looking at your wives. I hear you over there. That's what she sounds like. Don't you be saying that now. We'll have marriage counseling after church today. All right. Number three. Let's go into Matthew. Matthew 3, chapter 18. Y'all haven't noticed, I liked the words in red in the Bible a lot. It's all important, but when Jesus says it, I really pay close attention. Number three, don't get stuck in unforgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Look at that. Isn't that just like Peter? That's just like me too. Well, how far do I have to go? Really, I know you said it, God, but really, come on, how far? You told me to be long-suffering, but there's got to be a point, right? I mean, there's got to be, my back's about to break, God. Come on now, really, are we done yet? Is this it? How much farther do we have to go? That's just like Peter. You know I'm like Peter. You're like Peter. We all want to know, where's the finish line, man? Let me just get there. What do you mean? There's got to be something here that I could just, all right, now I've had enough, right? Now I can stop forgiving him. Now I can just go ahead and harbor it, right, Jesus? Jesus, you're going to tell me that, right? You're going to say, well, enough's enough. Now you can get mad at him. It's all right. Chase them down when they cut you off now. Go ahead and drag them out the car. Go ahead and call your sister, brother-in-law's, aunt's, uncle's, sister's boyfriend that's got two babies by somebody else and tell them exactly what you think about them. It's okay now. They've done enough to you. Go ahead and let it out. That's what all of us get there. If you don't, you lying. Here is Peter now walking with Jesus, and Peter got there. It says, Lord, when is enough enough? And you know what Jesus says? He said, no, what do you mean seven times? I'm talking seven times 70. Woo! I ain't a mathematician like this boy's son over here now. I don't even know I can do math that high. So I'm going to tell you, 7 times 70 is an awful lot. More so than that, Jesus was trying to get a point across. It don't ever stop. You don't ever get to some line where you say, I've had enough is enough, and then you start hating and so on and so forth, harboring and anger with them and unforgiveness with them. What Jesus said is you keep forgiving them. Now listen, just because you forgive them, and I've said this before, doesn't mean you marry them. Just because you forgive them doesn't mean you say, hey, well, now you can be my roommate. Come on, we'll split everything 50-50. It's going to be great. You out your mind. Hopefully you learned your lesson. You say, I forgive you, and I'm going to love you, and I'll go stand over there. I'm going to love you from a distance. And when they do something over there, because they're going to shout things at you. Hey, you know you stink. Hey, you know you a liar. Oh, you two-faced. Hey, you know that. They're going to shout it from across the mountain. They could be on the other side of the valley, and they're still trying to influence you, and you still got to sit there and go, I forgive you, but don't you cross that bridge. You forgive them, because what happens is if you don't forgive them, they got a hold of you. They could be 1,700 miles away and still be controlling your life because you won't let them go for their hatred towards you. Now, that's crazy to me. I live in a household with a beautiful woman. Now, she tells me to jump. Cassidy, I jump. I'm not going to lie. I jump. I say, how high? Yes, that's exactly what I say. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you, there's other people in my life who have done wrong to me, have done something against me, come up against me, whatever it may be. And I have forgiven them. Well, number one, they ain't coming in my house. But number two, if they pick up the telephone and they want to call me from California and they say jump, I'm going to say, click. I'm sorry, we broke up here somehow. What was that? No. But I still forgive you and I still love you. That same father, I've shared this a couple weeks back. My stepfather was extremely abusive growing up. Extremely abusive. And I harbored such unforgiveness to him. Horrid. If there was ever anybody on the face of the earth that I said I wish that they did go to hell, it was him. And I really believed that, and I stood on that for so long. And you know, every time somebody brought up his name, and I can say it today, and I'm going to say his name, John. Whenever I heard his, now, John, no, brother, not you. I love you, buddy. Don't be looking over there at him. Y'all stop now. He ain't my stepdaddy. Every time I heard that name, do you know there's just something welled up inside of me that was just hatred, anger. And I felt so nasty and horrible on the inside. There was nothing good that came up. And you know, I used to attribute that to him. And I'd say, well, if he hadn't done those things, I wouldn't feel this way. And so I put it all on his shoulder. Now, don't get me wrong. He did his actions. But the control that he had on me, now he's dead, he's gone. He's been dead and gone for a long time. But he was dead and gone, and he still had control over me. Now that wasn't his actions that he was doing then, that was my harboring unforgiveness for him. And he still dictated my life like that. And so everywhere that I went, if something happened that triggered emotion or a thought or something else that was about him, those feelings would well back up out of me, and that's what would come out of me like that. And I didn't like it. And I said, I don't understand this. God, I don't understand. I don't want to be like that, especially when I wanted to start living right. When I told you that Jesus starts to change you from the inside out, see, Jesus was starting to change me. And as I'm getting changed, I'm wanting to start to do things better. And I didn't want to have these outlash anger issues. But I said, God, I don't understand. What is this all about? And Jesus, and God brought me here. He said, you haven't forgiven him. That's a hard pill to swallow, folks. Can I tell you how I did it? How many of you would like to be able to forgive somebody today? I want to tell you how I forgave somebody. How I forgave him. And I want you to really hear this. I forgave myself. See, I knew Jesus had forgiven me of my sins. And I'd heard people say, well, if you understand how much Jesus has forgiven you, it makes it easier for you to forgive others. And that is true, but not in that stage of my maturity walk with God. It was not true. Because I knew Jesus died for me, for my sins. I knew how much he paid a price for me. But I still could not bring myself to forgive him until I said, you know what? If Jesus loved me enough to forgive me, then I gotta love myself enough to forgive myself too. And when I started doing that, because out of those things that happened with John, I lived a life that was horrible. Bad. I hurt a lot of people in my life. I broke up a lot of relationships, and that's part of the reason why my father and them don't talk to me now is because they knew the old Mike. They knew everything that I used to do like that. And so, but once I got to the point that I said, you know what, Jesus, forgive me for all that I did, I'm going to forgive myself for everything that I've done. There's a step in that Celebrate Recovery that says make amends where you can. Sometimes you can't make amends with others. You need to make amends with yourself. And when you make amends with yourself like that, and you realize that you can forgive yourself, but you know then it became real easy to forgive him. Because I realized he doesn't have to control me anymore. Those actions don't have to dictate anything that I do anymore. That I walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to wrap up with this. I know you guys are ready to, Shoney's is closed, but wherever y'all go, Colorado Grill or whatever it is. But I'm going to wrap up with this. When I didn't forgive, my unforgiveness led me to bitterness. And I was bitter against everything, the world. I was a victim in my own mindset because I was so angry and so unforgiving of things that I looked at everything bitterly. And bitterness always leads you to rebellion. And so what I did was, as a young man, I was so angry and I was so mad and I was so bitter that I started rebelling against everybody and anybody who loved me, including God. And so for the next 20 years of my life, I spent walking in rebellion. But praise God for a little church on the hill. Praise God for a pastor who loved me enough to tell me the truth. Praise God for a church full of loving people that didn't judge me based upon my first impression. Praise God that he loved me enough that even during my rebellion, he never left me nor forsake me. He always wanted to be close with me. There's a scripture in the Bible in Hebrews. And I want you to understand something, that Jesus knows exactly what we go through. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need." I want everybody to stand to your feet this morning. Jesus knows right where you're at. He's been there. He sympathizes with you and where you're at right now in your life. And whatever it is that you're going through, it hasn't caught God off guard. It's no coincidence that you're here this morning. You're here because God pulled you out of somewhere. He took you out of your own Sodom and Gomorrah and is leading you to your victory. Every head bowed here today, every eye closed. I want anybody looking around, I've got to ask you though, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? All those things I talked about today, the not looking back, the not living in the rejection, and not dwelling on unforgiveness, all those things can only be done with God in your life. Jesus Christ has to be your Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here today that hasn't made that decision but wants to make that decision and says, "Today I want it to be the day that my life changes forever." If that's you right where you're at, I want you to raise your hand high. If there's anybody here that says, "Today I want to accept Jesus. Today I want to surrender my life. Today I want to let go of that control. And I want to turn it over to Him, let Him guide me." If there's anybody here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, just in a chapter over in Hebrews 2, it says, "God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, Miss Mary's going to come up and stand in, but I believe there's people that need to let go of something. I think there's people in here that are harboring things, that there's unforgiveness that you've got that today you need to be set free of. I believe that there's people in here who want to walk closer to Jesus, want to have that freedom that comes that's being found in Him. And I believe today is your day to let the Holy Spirit work inside of you. And let me tell you, if you've never had the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. When you're saved, you already have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But you know, I own a